Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your day two recap of the Players' Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme. Greg, notice I did not say round two, because round two is not complete.
I was going to ask you why you went with day two, but yes, a little weather delay that we had here, which, I'm very curious to see if this becomes a theme at the Players' Championship in March. I think it fits into the schedule beautifully, but it definitely seems like weather becomes a much bigger factor here in March than it did in May, which, you know, I spent some time living in South Florida, a couple hours south of Jacksonville, but there definitely is a greater chance of weather in March than May, which always seems to be beautiful.
So where we stand on this Friday night is at around 4:30 Eastern time. Play was suspended. It'll resume Saturday at 7 a.m. And we had dodged the raindrops for the majority of the day. Could not do that any longer. So play has been suspended. There are guys who have nine holes or more to play. So there's a lot of action that's going to need to complete in round two. Our cut line is still very much up in the air, probably between one over and two over at this point. So there is still a lot that we don't know on this Friday night. What we do know, Greg, is that from what we've seen in round two thus far, it has played a lot more difficult than round one. Two strokes over par is the scoring average compared to just 0.75 over par on Thursday's round one. So things getting more difficult out there at TPC Sawgrass.
No question about it, Rick. And the wind was clearly a deciding factor in this, and it was blustery winds, so it was really hard for some of the players to figure out. And we may get to talk about Chad Ramey tonight, but watching him on 17 was kind of the perfect example of why this is so challenging. On 16, he gets one wind direction, which should mean he gets downwind on 16, into the wind on 16, and then he gets to 17 and feels it at his back, which is the opposite of what it should be. And all of a sudden he's trying to decide between, what do I trust? And in this stadium section of the golf course, it's really hard to decide. And of course, being an island green, you can't make a mistake long or short or left or right. So it gives a great challenge to the players. And if you choose wrong, and you get a little frisky with the back edge of that green, there's water long. And we saw that kind of stuff happen all day. A lot of big numbers out there on the golf course. I mean, just looking at so far today's round, and you have 71 double bogeys and 11 others. Yesterday on, 71 and 11 was round one's total. Looking at today, you got 61 doubles and 16 others.
And we're not done yet.
I mean, you got almost nine holes to go for a wave, right? So about a quarter of the field. You got a lot more golf left to play. So, but it's those others that are so significant to me, and it's why the leaderboard changes so rapidly.
Before we get into the player by player analysis, the probably the biggest name in the field, John Rahm, withdrew. Stomach bug. Very disappointing, Greg, not only from the angle that I like to look at. I mean, he was one of the betting favorites. He was highly owned in one and done. He was a very popular fantasy option. But John Rahm, one of the best players in the world, who to me was prepared for a big bounce back Friday, gets a stomach bug and is not going to be able to compete in the biggest tournament of the year. That's just, it's however you want to phrase it, it's straight up disappointing.
Just thinking about having John Rahm in one and done makes my stomach sick. No pun intended. Actually, it was intended. But so that's a disappointing aspect. Fortunately, I didn't have him. I dodged that one. But this is a really disappointing thing, and it can happen really quick. I just had a stomach bug last week, and it is no fun. It comes on really quick. It's really intense. And I don't think there's any way you can play through that. So I completely understand where John's coming from, but you know, having such a powerful group on a Friday afternoon is, you know, disappointing for all of us, all of the fans who were prepared to watch that. And he was at one under par, right? He had a chance to make a move at this. And you look at the leaderboard now, and you know, just another decent round puts him right in contention in theory. So it's a big loss to the field of this event, and I hope John feels better.
Yes, he was one under par and had lost 2.5 strokes putting on Thursday. If he just goes one under through the 12 holes or whatever he would have played on Friday, he's in the tournament. So
very much so.
Disappointing to see John Rahm exit stage left. Let's go through this. Early runners, Ben Griffin goes out and follows up his 5-under round on Thursday with a 1-under 71. That includes a double bogey on his final hole of the day, 18. And Ben Griffin gets to post, Greg, and laugh and laugh and laugh and watch everybody struggle as they come in and watch his position seemingly get better and better throughout the day.
You know, I'm not sure how much he's laughing because of the way the round ended. So I'm sure he's disappointed. And I'm just so impressed with this kid. He has been playing phenomenal golf as a rookie on the PGA Tour. So he is extremely impressive to me. What happened on 18, we've seen a lot of doubles there, a lot of others there. We saw Aaron Wise make a 10 there yesterday. But it just speaks to the reason this hole is so difficult. Obviously, there's a big lake to the left. So left is no good, but he didn't hit it left. He hit it right. And so he made a double bogey 6 without hitting it into the water. And it's so easy to do that, bail out to the right a little bit and you find yourself in jail and you're chipping out and it's a second shot. I mean, we've seen guys make bogeys from the fairway. So now you got to chip out sideways and you're making a bogey from the fairway. So a really disappointing double. But still, nonetheless, a really high quality round of golf. And he's got to be really happy being at 6-under through 36.
6-under par, that is 2 shots off the current pace, though Ben Griffin is the leader in the clubhouse. We will update with those golfers up top here in just 1 second. If you tuned in early, you got a show from Victor Hovland. Victor ended round 1 by birdieing 4 of his last 5 holes and then stayed hot to open up round number 2 with birdies on 4 of his first 7. Victor actually got this thing to 5-under for the day, 8-under for the tournament at one point before making a double on 4, a bogey on 5, and a bogey on 8. That was his second 9 of the day. So Victor flashing greatness on this Friday. He'll sit at 4-under par heading into the weekend, and it'll be at least a couple shots off the lead, but still very much in the mix.
Very much in the mix, but frustrated because number 4 is not a hole you want to be making double on. You know, played 379 yards today. That hole location was down in that little bowl there. And it's one, you put it in the fairway and you're licking your chops. Now The funny thing is, even with that very accessible hole location, it played over par. But if you could just get it in the fairway, all of a sudden it's a birdie hole. And I'm sure it was playing under par from the golf balls in the fairway. So he hits it well to the right, has to chip out and chips out into the fairway on the other side, and then goes long with his third and ends up making double. So that was really disappointing, and he had it going so well, and all of a sudden there's a hiccup, and it's not on 17, it's not on 18, it's on number 4. But then and the problem is, you then head into this really challenging stretch of golf, which,
right,
you could argue, I mean, 17 and 18 played really difficult today, but Rick, look at, I mean, number 4, again, 379 yards. It was the fourth hardest hole on the course today. It is right now. Number 5 is the ninth hardest. Number 6 is the fifth hardest hole on the golf course. That stretch, you know, 3 through 6 is really difficult, and it got Victor today.
3 through 8 are all playing over par. I mean, it's a very difficult stretch of golf. I just think it's a really good example of just how small the margins are and how you can make a double so easily out here. And I mean, the shot he hit on 17 landed on the bulkhead and still held the green, and he makes par there. That could have very easily been a double.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's just, the margins are tiny out here, and that's what makes this so fun and makes it so chaotic.
And it's probably why the leaderboard stays a little more consistent, or inconsistent. You know, you don't have the big stars at the top. It kind of changes and bounces back and forth. Players have very inconsistent records here, and you don't have the leaderboard we've had at the other designated events right now. And that's a big reason why players of all these different skill levels can make birdies, but at the same time, big mistakes are there for everybody. So it's just a great challenge of golf. And I think everybody's going to have a stretch like Victor did this week.
Of the rounds that have been completed, there are 3 rounds of 3 under. Those belong to Thomas Dietrich, who will likely miss the cut, Shane Lowry, who has a chance, and Aaron Rye, who is safely within the cut line. There is 1 completed round of 4 under. Tom Hoagie, who is trending towards making the cut, needs it to come back a little bit to him, but we're headed in that direction. And then 1 solitary round of 5 under 67, Greg. That's Will Gordon's day. And Will Gordon goes 73-67. I want to pull up what he did last week at Bay. I think he shot like an 82 on Friday at Bay Hill. I mean, this is just Will Gordon leaning into it and getting right real quick.
He got out really early and got done with this round early, which I think was a big help, because the wind really started to pick up, and you saw guys go through that stretch we mentioned, go through the stretch of 17 and 18, and really struggle. But Will Gordon just got after it with his approach play today. You know, he was averaging 30 inside of 30 feet on his approach shots. He hit 12 greens and led the field today, at least so far, in strokes gained approach. And now he's second for the week in that category. And a lot of the guys near the top of this leaderboard are not necessarily great iron players. So and by the way, not only did he lead in strokes gained approach, he led in strokes gained putting too. And that is a recipe for success. So we've seen a lot of inconsistency with Will Gordon through his career, throughout tournaments. He definitely has shown this kind of upside, which is why he's a DFS favorite very many, many weeks. But he's going to be facing the pressure this week, and hopefully he can hang on.
Let's talk about our overnight leader. That was, and I guess still is, Chad Ramey. That round is still happening. Ramey comes out of the gate, Greg, with a resting heart rate of 45. I mean, he goes par, birdie, birdie, and gets this thing to, what would that be, 10 under par? He got it to 10 under.
He was 10 under.
Bogey at 13, and then disaster strikes at 17. He's in the water off his first shot, goes to the drop zone, puts another in the water, ends up making a quad there, makes the turn, adds another bogey on number one. Through 10 holes of round number two, Chad Ramey, four over. He's four under for the tournament, and he has four shots off the current lead.
Yeah, there are different situations in this, right? The guys near the top of the leaderboard, who we'll talk about soon, are disappointed that the play has ended right now. Well, Chad Ramey's a guy who's thrilled to have a break. Now he can go get some rest, reset his mind, and come out tomorrow morning and play eight holes. He's got eight holes to get himself back in the mix, which he can do, and he's done with 17. But I think what you saw with 17 today, which will be different tomorrow, was just how important the hole location is. And when you have the hole location up on that back shelf, it is so firm back there, and you have ridges short. So you have to be extremely precise. You almost got to land it on a little spine and let it trickle back there. And you have winds that are unpredictable. And I think he got fooled with the wind today, landed it up on that back shelf, and it goes long into the water. And there's just not a lot of room back there. And then when you go to the drop zone, you're dealing with the same thing. There's a ridge you got to go over and water long and nothing to stop it. So it's just incredibly challenging. And once you hit it in the water the first time and you go walk over to that drop zone, the heart rate is not at 48 anymore. It is way up and it happens quick.
Yeah, the drop zone not really all that much easier, obviously, as Greg described. I'm going to talk about a couple of the notables, but before we do that, Greg, let's give a shout to the guys at the top of the leaderboard. Two shots clear of Ben Griffin. So again, just to recap, Ben Griffin's in the clubhouse. He's at 6 under par. Minwoo Lee is out on the golf course at 6 under. Colin Morikawa is out on the golf course at 6 under. But Christian Bezuidenhout and Adam Svensson are both in the midst of 4 under rounds, and they have both extended to 8 under par here, Greg. So Svensson got the victory at the RSM Classic at the end of the fall and has started to play a little bit better after a slow start to 2023. And then Bezuidenhout, who's kind of lurked around recently, generally known as one of the better putters, one of the better short game players on the PGA Tour.
Yes, but this week he's doing it a little bit differently,
yes.
Which is kind of cool to see and an interesting twist. Today, he's already gained 3.1 strokes approaching the green. He's hit 10 of 14 greens. He's 6 for the week strokes gained tee to green. That is a huge jump for him. So I think it's a really good sign for Bezzy up here. He's got to be feeling really good about his game. Just disappointed for the shutdown. And then Svensson has been really feeling it with his iron play of late. One of the reasons why I liked him coming into this week, and he's showing the exact same thing today. He's only made one bogey so far this week. It was on 18 yesterday. So these two guys are playing some really impressive golf.
To put it into perspective, I think Svensson was 250-1 to win the golf tournament, and Bezuidenhout was probably equally as long, if not longer than that. I'll have to look it up in just a second.
I loved your stat too on Ramey being, you know, min price on DraftKings, and
so funny, right?
It's classic players.
Okay, couple of notables. Let's start with Rory McIlroy. So we've got a situation now where obviously John Rahm is no longer in this golf tournament, and barring some type of miracle coming back on Saturday morning, Rory McIlroy is not going to be in this golf tournament for the final two rounds. He's 2 over through 10 holes. He's currently playing the par 5 11th. He has hit two shots there. He is 6 over par. I'm thinking this cut line is likely to be 2 over. So he has got to get 4 over his last 8, Greg, or two of our top three players in this field are not going to be around for the weekend.
This was impossible an hour ago. I don't think there was any chance that he could do it. But now you come out early in the morning on Saturday, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden you got two par fives left to play. So while it's a long, you know, it's a long road back, I do unfortunately think that these players finishing their rounds in the morning pushes that cut towards one over, more so than two. If we were finishing tonight and you had that blustery winds, I think two over was really coming into play strong. I wouldn't be surprised if it holds at one. So I think Rory's really got to get 5. He's got to get 5 birdies in his next 8 holes. The fortunate thing is he's got 2 par fives. The unfortunate thing is he's got the 2 hardest holes on the course, 17 and 18. But if anybody can do it, it's Rory.
I would like it if it's one over. That would help my situation. Rory is greenside. He's about 50 feet off the from the pin, just off the green on the kind of back left-hand side of that 11th green. So he's got a little bit of, you know, get up and down, get this thing to five over, and then see what else you can do. But obviously, as Greg mentioned, very much a long shot there. But Jordan Spieth was also a long shot to make the cut. Because Jordan Spieth played his final hole of the day, number nine, Greg, and in true Spiethian fashion, hits it off the planet, right? There is water over there. While the ball is in the air, Kyle Porter actually took a great screenshot of this. Jordan Spieth says, "Is that out of play?" As the ball is at its apex. So this thing it's gone. It's over. He's done. He was sitting at two over. This is about to go in the water, and Jordan Spieth is cooked, except for the infamous kneecap of a fan. And Jordan Spieth kneecaps this guy. It bounces back into the fairway. Jordan Spieth hits one up by the green, chips in for eagle. There it is. If you're watching on YouTube, that's a shot shape of a man who made an eagle. Okay. Chips it in for eagle and now sits at even par, which is tied for 39th. He will be around for the weekend.
This was incredible. Following this round today was just incredible. I was getting flashbacks to the Sony earlier this year, a great first round and just a debacle hole after hole. It seemed, he made three sixes today, three sixes. It was so frustrating to watch. And then he hits this shot and you could just tell that he's done, right? Jordan Spieth's going home. And I did something on HQ earlier this week. We did, star most likely to miss the cut because it happens so often here. And I chose Spieth because he tends to struggle around the greens here. And his ball striking was just so. I thought he was leaning a little too much on his short game last week and coming to a place where he hasn't had great success on and around the greens. I didn't think it would go very well. And I was very close, a kneecap away from being right. But here he is heading into the weekend and he's at even par. So I'm thinking, you know, he's in the mix in this tournament. I know the lead's at 8 under right now, but clubhouse lead at 6, he could be within 6 strokes heading into his third round.
Patrick McDonald on Tuesday had his best bet as Jordan Spieth. So Jordan Spieth to miss the cut was plus 200, 2-1. So that kneecap stopped everybody from getting that 2-1 pass.
Yeah, it's wild.
Unbelievable. We'll talk about just kind of a couple other notables as we go through this, because we're going to talk about the betting favorites here. But first, we are going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. Do we have the odds board? Now, remember, we are very much with golf to play. There is a lot of second round action to play. Look at this shift at the top of the leaderboard, or excuse me, the top of the betting board, I should say. Scottie Scheffler, who is currently 1 under par in round 2 and 5 under for the tournament, which is 1 shot off the clubhouse lead and 3 shots off the lead, is the favorite, plus 225. Colin Morikawa, 5-1. He's at 6 under for the tournament, though one over for his second round. Victor Hovland plus 650. Christian Bezuidenhout at 9-1. Adam Svensson 10-1. Jason Day, who we haven't mentioned, in at 4 under. T8, he's 14-1. And Minwoo Lee, who is still out on the golf course with a couple of holes to play, 2 under for his round, 6 under for the tournament, is 20-1. We can go further than that, Greg, if there's a guy that you're keeping an eye on, because it's pretty chaotic on this board right now, especially with how much golf has to be played. But that is the top of the betting board.
And there's a couple of things here. One, I'm looking at Colin Morikawa, and I think he may be the biggest beneficiary of the stop down. And you know, think about one of Kyle's points, which I think is kind of true, where he tends to struggle in the wind a little bit. And so this afternoon round, this blustery round, was going to be a big test for me. And he doesn't have to play that much in it, right? He's only got to play 11 holes. And so he can come out tomorrow in the morning. And I think he could end up being your round two leader at the end of 36 holes. He could be your leader. He's leading the field right now in strokes gained approach. He's already gained 7.3 strokes approaching the green. He's got a driver in play that he feels really comfortable and confident with. And I think you're looking at the old Colin Morikawa right now on a golf course that should fit him. Right at the beginning of the year, you're looking at who wins the biggest events on the PGA Tour. And Morikawa is a great fit for the Players' Championship, and now he finds himself right in the mix. Look, Scotty, of course, Scotty Scheffler is on top and should be. So I love where he is. It's just, you know, he's, what are you going to do? There's nothing you could do with that, right?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Bet him at 225? You probably should have bet him at 11-1 before the tournament started.
Right.
Which is what I did. Right. I was, Greg, I tell you, man, I was pretty sure Scotty was going to win before the tournament. I was pretty sure last night he was going to win the tournament. I'm pretty sure right now he's going to win this golf tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a man on a mission, which he has been for almost an entire year now, and more, maybe more than that. You know, maybe it's 18 months now when he was searching for his first win. Then battling for world number one. Now he wants a Players' Championship. He's been close a lot, and he's hunting it down, and he's playing the part. He's just unbelievable to me. So, you know, words can't describe how good I feel about Scotty Scheffler as well.
How about this? I came into this week very much eyeing the ball strikers. And
me too.
Scotty Scheffler is third on the week off the tee. He is 9th on approach. He's getting a little bit of bonus, 27th around the green, and 89th in putting. He's losing with the putter. I'm telling you, it is just – and if you watch, I don't know how much you – I swear, he has left like 10 strokes out there. He is hitting everything to 8 feet. He is hitting everything to 8 feet.
Did you see his first 9 holes yesterday?
Yeah.
He
could have been 6 under. He was even par, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you go through like you set up a cut of all the putts that he missed.
Yeah.
Right? And you go through every hole. Hey, he missed a putt on every hole that was makeable.
What I would encourage the PGA Tour to do, this is a free idea here, is they need the super cut, like I want, you know how NFL has like the game recaps, you can watch every play, but it's condensed like 12 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
I need like the 5 minute round of just every shot where I could just click on Scotty and watch every shot he hit yesterday, because you would be like, wait a minute, this guy's leading. This is the worst golf I've ever seen played. And he's 2 shots off the lead or something like that.
They kind of have this at the Masters. Yeah. You got to do a little clicking. You can make your own. But they've done this before. I've seen them do this before.
It's just not consistent.
It should be consistent, right? Especially, I mean, maybe it's not every player, maybe every, you know, the marquee groups, but definitely a Scotty Scheffler.
The ones that we have the shot. I mean, there's obviously a lot of guys we don't have every single shot for, but like every single shot that Scotty Scheffler has hit this week has been televised.
Yes. We do have every shot this week. Yeah. So you could do it for the players at least. I agree. It would be very cool.
The other little nugget about this is, and probably why he's the favorite, is that Scotty Scheffler is playing that same par five that Rory McIlroy is. They're now playing as a two ball, and he is 16 feet away for eagle.
Yeah.
So I assume he is going to two putt that because he can't make anything. So that'll move him to 6 under, and then he'll have to go out and play. I mean, he'll play obviously 12 through 18. But man, I wish I had Mark's vocabulary because I do not have the adjectives to describe how impressed I am with Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Yeah, it's constant. And in a big group like this too, Rick, it's so often we see these super groups come together and they're kind of flat. And he had every opportunity to be flat. Rom had kind of an up and down round yesterday. Rory was playing terrible. Scotty couldn't get anything to go on the front nine. And then all of a sudden he just does Scotty things. And now he's the favorite and rightly so. So let me give you one other guy who's not on this board, who's got my attention. Adam Hadwin. Adam Hadwin's got a little run going right now. One of the guys disappointed, leading the field today in proximity through eight holes. He's hit averaging 22 feet. And so he's first in the field there, seventh in strokes gained approach right now. He is just really impressing me. He's ninth for the week in strokes gained tee to green, and he's sitting at 4 under par.
Yeah, and what's worth noting is he's going to have a 4.5 footer for birdie in the morning. So yeah, there's a pretty decent chance, obviously, if you're at him at Hadwin, who's a great putter, that he's sitting at 5 under, and he's in the same spot that Scottie Scheffler is. What did you say his odds? Did we get his odds? Hold on, I can find 20 to 1. 20 to 1 right now for Adam Hadwin. So, yeah, that's not bad. I just, you know, I know that this is chaotic, and I know it's Bezuidenhode and Svensson and Griffin and Minwoo Lee and Pendrith and Will Gore, but like I am so confident that either Scotty or Colin or Victor or, you know, like one of those, or even Jason Day is going to win this golf tournament. I just feel it coming.
You can kind of see the group that's up here near the top. They haven't kind of hit the train wreck yet,
right?
And you know they're going to, you know, Bezuidenhode and Svensson just haven't made a mistake yet, and yet is the key word because everybody does, and nobody's playing 72 perfect holes. So I think it's just kind of ripe for the picking with the guys would be Scotty, Morikawa, Day, and Hovland up near the top. You can see them being there heading into Sunday.
Yes. Definitely can. Okay. So here's where we're at again. They're gonna restart 7 a.m. on Saturday, Eastern time, obviously, because they're in Florida. That's how this works. And they will complete round two, and then they'll regroup them, flip them back out there, probably do three balls off the split tees, and get them out there for the third round. They'll get caught up tomorrow, right?
Yeah, they should get caught up tomorrow. Weather's looking pretty good for the whole weekend. So, I mean, maybe they won't quite finish Saturday night, but they'll get really close if they don't.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously when the coverage ends or when play ends or whatever on Saturday, we'll be back to break it all down. Same thing on Sunday. Anything I missed? Anything we need to talk about, Greg?
Oh, I think we hit it all. I was glad to get Spieth in there and Rahm, and of course, we get our Scotty conversation in too. So a lot to look forward to in the next 2 days.
I love Scotty, man. I love him. He's so good.
Do you play him in one and done?
Not in this one and done, because I already used him. I played him. Yeah. I played Xander, but I did play him in like one or two other one and dones that I still had him available.
Yeah, I didn't. I wanted to. I nearly did. I didn't pull the trigger.
At least I only had, and I was pretty big on using one of the big three this week, Rom, Rory, Scotty, in like all of my one and dones. And I only used one instance of Rory. Here's what we did. Here's what we did in our one and done here. The fans had John Rahm. Greg, you had Homa. I have Xander. And then both Kyle M and Sia have Scotty. So they could get themselves out of the basement.
Oh, that, yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to leave me in the basement.
I was going to say, unless Homa, especially with Victor Hovland for Patrick and Kyle, think this might be a bad week for old Greg.
Homa's at even par. He's hanging in there. Yeah, he's going to make me some money, but still, with $4.5 million, stack it up behind me, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah. So we'll see. I generally avoided the Rory Rahm disaster. I got like a tiny little bit of exposure to it, but we'll see how it goes. All right. Cool. Producer Josh, all the hard work behind the scenes, thank you very much. Greg Ducharme, available on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Rungood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.